says in Mark 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. This is Jesus and his disciples when they say they. Into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, again speaking of Jesus, I want you to notice what happens. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Oh, I think every one of us can relate to that man. Who had in his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him, not with chains, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. You know what that word really means in the context of what's happening to this man's life? Is no one could help him. In the context, the chains really weren't there to really hurt him. In their minds, the chains were there and placed upon him to help him from hurting himself even more. Do you have people in your life that are trying to help you stop hurting yourself, but they can't fix it? Oh, come on, somebody. You're trying to fix it, and they're trying to fix you, and it's just not working out. Verse 5, this is what's going on. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. You guys, I'm sorry. I get emotional in this text. Night and day, he's crying. Night and day, he's cutting himself. With stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. In verse 7, we all, me included, totally misunderstand this verse. And there's what my topic's going to be. Verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment. This is the man talking to Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus, don't torment me. I want to preach to you today on this thought. Wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts. One more time, Lord, we're going to pray to you, because without you, this is all show. If we don't invite you to speak to hearts, God, this is a show. It's entertainment. But we're not here to entertain. We're not here to show. We're not here to perform. We're here to speak your word so that somebody can have a life, someone can have freedom. Someone can have a new understanding on what you want to do in their life. Someone can be made free from the shackles that they hold on to, the tears they cry, the frustrations they have, and they feel like in the world there's no hope because they've tried it, and the world has no answers. Oh, God, money, sex, pleasure, fame, none of those things have satisfied their soul in one way, shape, or another. We have cried. We have cut ourselves. We have sabotaged things. And so, God, we need you to speak. We need you, oh, God, to create a word of revelation that will equip us, oh, God, with a better tomorrow, and without your help, and without your anointing, and without you speaking, God, we are doing all this in vain. And so I pray, as we've been praying, let your word move. Let your word be communicated so the people of God can understand it, and that we leave impacted, empowered, and changed. Now clap your hands as you are seated in the house of the Lord. It cannot be overstressed, over-communicated, or overstated that our thoughts are what either will allow us to grow, to become better, advance, make progress, move forward, mature, or sink, or go backwards, or be stagnant, or digress, or lose hope, or doubt and be defeated. If it is true that your choices determine your destiny, and if the truth that your thinking determines your choices, then it is in fact your thinking that determines your destiny. And many do not realize that they have much control over their destiny. Many do not realize that they have more control over their lives than they think they've had before. Many believe that life is just filled with random things that happen, that they have no control over anything. And so then that indeed leads to lives that are full of shallow interactions. It leads to lives that feel there is no need to pray with consistency nor fervor, because deep down, if I don't believe that I have any control in my life, then that probably means my prayers won't amount to much either. It leads to lives that wander around only hoping and wishing things could be different, hoping and wishing things could be better, but never believing it can happen to them because they have no control in the matter. And this is something that I want to expose, because it is not true. We have more power, we have more control of what goes on in our lives than we think, or what the world might tell you. And the word again is T-H-I-N-K. And again and again, this word will come out. If I think the wrong thoughts, the results are going to be wrong. But on the other hand, if I start thinking the thoughts of God, if I start thinking what the word has to say over my environment, then just perhaps, maybe somehow, that I can see a better tomorrow. And let me preach to everyone here in this house. If you begin to think the right thoughts, God has a plan for you. If you begin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, your life is about to take a brand new turn. Is anybody excited about at least the hope that things could get better? Even if you don't believe it all the way, just the hope in itself gets me excited. That tells me that I don't have to stay where I am. I preach this way because I know the lies of the enemy. And I hate the devil. Y'all know that. I know how deceptive he is. I know how his traps work because I've experienced them in my own life. Have you? I have seen how he wanted me to believe that I could not get stronger in God. How can you be a man of God and have struggles? How can you be a man of God and have sinful and negative thoughts? How can you have been in this walk for so long and still battle certain things in your life? The enemy whispers, maybe you don't have what you thought you have. Whispers of maybe God is not hearing your prayers the way you thought he should be. Maybe God just isn't able to work in you because you're such a phony and you're such a hypocrite. And you know what you are outside of people looking at you. If you were walking with God the way you say, then why are you facing the things that you're facing in your life right now? Why are you fighting the things you are fighting in your life right now? Why are you wrestling with the things you are wrestling with? The devil whispers, God could do a work in you, but you are such a difficult case. you should be over this by now. You should have conquered this by now. Am I talking to anybody? You should have let go of this anger by now. This unforgiveness by now. This addiction by now. This fear by now. These hesitations by now. If you say who you will say you are, shouldn't you be over this particular issue that you're dealing with? How many times have you prayed? How many times have you repented and said you're turning away from that thing? How many times have you and I said we are going to be better? How many times have we said, praise God, I'll do it better next time, Lord? But I guess you're just a lost cause. And you know it. So think about it. Stop trying. Keep on coming to church every week. Why do you keep coming to church? Stop seeking God. You are who you are. You can't change. You see that God can't do nothing with you. Yep, I said nothing. And these type of thoughts, these wrongs, are thoughts that want to hinder people from experiencing the wonderful, delivering power of God. These wrong thoughts are the thoughts that want to make people attach themselves as lost causes. And I am not dramatizing it, acting like people are not able to function like this. But in fact, that is actually the problem. Many are in a place that this is just normal life. That's what we deal with as human beings. That's why there's all type of suicides that take place in our schools, in our homes, in our families. That's why the murder rate goes up and up and up every year. Why? Why do drugs go up and issues go up over and over again? Because man in his natural state is in a position where we don't think we can have the power to do it ourselves, and we're just trying to figure it out. Many of us figured out in so many harmful ways. No peace is normal. Constant depression is normal. Future, I'm just trying to survive one more day. And let me say this, a lot of us may even have progress and made some momentum for a little bit, but you and I both know it's only a matter of time when we flame out. We get excited in the moment. We get energized in the moment. But let life happen, don't worry. Half the people won't be here in 2 months. Don't misunderstand me, you better hear what I'm saying. Why? Because the natural inclinations that we all have. Not because they couldn't get out, but they didn't believe that they could get out. It's not that you can't be made free. The question is, can you believe that you can be made free? The question is not, does God have a work in store for you? The question is, do you believe with all that you've done and all that you've been through and how many times you failed that God still wants to pick you up and turn you around and set your feet on a solid ground? Well, my job here this morning is to tell you absolutely yes. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how many times you failed, that God died on the cross so that you can rise up today and say, if I've ever said it before, today I believe, I believe.
believe. I believe in the Son of God who died for me and has a purpose for me, even though I failed him. I come to tell you that that cycle can be conquered when you get a revelation of God's word. I come to tell somebody when we begin to really believe who Jesus is rather than keep looking at our stinking selves. Get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. Every one of us have failed. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has come short of the glory of God. And every time you keep looking at your issues, you hinder yourself from the blessing that God wants to give to you. Can I tell you, God became a man and dwelt among us so that we might be saved and pay the price of our sin. And it is a strategy of the enemy to try to get you to think that somehow you have to earn this, somehow you have to deserve this. Not one of us deserves the mercy and the grace of God, but yet we're here worshiping because we know it's true. We know that the love of God is upon us. And when we have a better way of thinking, we say, I don't think about what the world thinks about me, and I don't even think about what I think about myself. I just go to the Word and say, what does God think about me? And when you start getting your eyes on what God thinks about you, all of a sudden your head is up now. All of a sudden you're above water. You're not drowning no more. And it ain't you, it's God. It's the God in me, Mary says. It's God in this house. It's God in anybody's life. Can someone rejoice, because you know if it had not been for the Lord on our side, the very fact we're here, that's why we shout, because we know what we were, but the grace, but the mercy of God pulled us through. And when I begin to have the right thinking, I know chains are going to fall off somebody this morning. And there is going to be a release in your spirit on the inside of you. Something you've not been able to explain. There's been a cloud over your life. There's been a cloud in your spirit. You feel like you're carrying baggage on your life. You feel weighted down. But before you leave, you will feel the Son set you free. Before you leave, those shackles and chains are coming off of you. Before you leave, you will raise your hands and say, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I don't know how to explain it, but something got a hold of me in that house. There is going to be a release of spiritual maturity all over this house. I sense it happening, new growth, a new season of growth. I love how we moved and shifted from the cold weather, and the sun is coming out and the birds are singing a little bit louder. If you pay real close attention to the trees outside, they are getting themselves in position to bud. I want us to be like the trees here this morning. Get yourself in position that you're about to break and bust through, and some flowers are about to come up out of you, and new life, new hope is about to be transferred. I'm speaking this way because, devil, you're a liar, and I speak against your lies. If I'm preaching to anybody, I'm preaching to your enemy. I'm letting your enemy know if God is moving in them, there ain't nothing you can do with them. I don't care what you're facing or dealing with right now. If God wants to touch you, you go be touched. You go be blessed. You go be healed. That's the kind of God we serve here this morning. Get ready for a move of God. Jesus told us about the binding and the loosing and taking authority. Why? Because he was changing mindsets. Because all they knew was demon possession. All they knew was sickness around them. He was saying, what you have to do now is walk in authority in your lives. That's not a surprise to me for you to walk in authority. Why? I am the creator of the universe. I made you, and I know what I put in you. And so when you start to conquer, I'm not surprised, because Adam, I put it in you to conquer and subdue the earth. And we're just trying to get back to that place to where we walk in that mindset that we are the head and not the tail. Is there anybody that wants to walk in dominion, wants to walk in authority? You're tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted. You're tired of all your true mental issues, all your worry. Can I tell you, when you walk in kingdom mindset, all those things are behind you, and you go start walking in the authority that God has called you to, because God is saying, I've always worked in my people's life to help them understand you have more control than you think. Than you think. Than you think. I know how you feel. That's why I said, I know how you think. I know how you feel. You're feeling emotional. You're feeling hopeless. You're feeling there's no way out. But don't let your feelings dictate the truth. Your feelings come and go, but the truth shall make you free. And I want to make known today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever comes to me, the Bible says you shall have everlasting life.
Can I say it this way? You cannot be walking with God and walking in darkness, constant darkness, at the same time. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. If you're walking with God, it's actually impossible for you to walk in constant darkness all the time and at the same time. That is the lie we've been believing. We truly believe that darkness is just a part of our life. I come against it. I come against it. We are not children of the darkness, but children of the light. In the beginning, God began to work his creative abilities. He spoke simple authority. Let there be light. And there was hesitation. There was light. He says, let there be revealing. Because you are in darkness, it grips you, it stifles you, it absolutely limits you from moving forward. And as we get to our text in Mark 5, Jesus, in chapter 4, had just freshly assembled his disciples. You guys, we've been doing a lot of work over here. Let's go to the other side. To the other side, the lake. Other side in their context, it's like the other side in our context. You know how we say things, you know. Oh, you live on the other side of the tracks. You live on that side of the hood. That's how it was with Jesus' time as well. When they said, let's cross over the other side to the area of the Gadarenes, that's where the majority of Gentiles operated and lived. And these Jewish people were raised to be racist. And Jesus told them to go to a people that they hated. Because Jesus has hate for no one. And Jesus would touch the ones that nobody would touch. And Jesus would go to the ones that no one wants to have anything to do with. And we find that they get there and they are associated with bad people. And to make a long story short, we know that on his way, the storm came and Jesus was still resting and he was able to speak and rebuke that storm because he knew that nothing was going to stop him from getting to the destination and the authority that he had to do on the other side. Let me tell somebody, when God is trying to do something, storms may arise, but there won't be one thing that will stop God from getting to you. There will be not one issue, one battle, one mountain, one storm that God won't allow himself. If he said he's coming all the way. Not one thing, not even what you do will stop God from getting to you. Let me tell somebody, Jesus is on his way for you. Jesus won't allow a storm, a wind, a wave, and even the fear of his own disciples to stop getting you what you need. He says, I rebuke you to the wind and the rain. And Sister Hargraves Marco gave me a call on the month that he told me, Pastor, did you pay attention to that scripture? When he says rebuke you, he didn't say, I rebuke you. What rebuke you meant is actually he spoke to the wind. When you rebuke something, you don't just say, I rebuke you. You speak to it directly. Wind, rain, and storm, peace be still. And so when you feel like rebuking, don't just say, I rebuke you. Say, in the name of Jesus, I come in authority with you from the word of God. And I say, peace be over my life. Peace be over my situation. In the name of, rebuke. Some stuff in your life in Jesus' name. Now, when he comes down to chapter 5, we see there is an unclean spirit in that country, and it says, the Bible says that he immediately came. The man who was unclean came to Jesus. He was unclean. He lived in the tombs. No man could bind him. That means they were trying to control him and help him, but they could not help him. And he broke against what they were trying to do to tame him. Some of you have lived a rebellious life because people have been trying to fix you, but they've been trying to fix you with the wrong solutions.
And so you rebelled against it. You fought against it because they couldn't tame you and fix you the way it needed to happen. And like I said before, he's crying day and night, praise God, in the tomb, in the mountains, cutting himself with stones, signifying when you are hurting and when you are cutting yourself, there's a deeper issue going on that you don't know how to fix it. And I know young women mostly that they have cut themselves. I had to talk to them and they feel that they're worthless.
Now, you may not have physically cut yourself, but you've done it mentally and emotionally. You cut yourself. You cut yourself. You cut yourself. I told you last week, a lot of us just self-sabotage, and you're trying to fix it, but then when you move forward, you just keep on taking two steps back. Let me tell you, you identify with this person. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and fell down, and I made sure I looked at the Greek word. It is actually, he fell down prostrate before him, and that's why they use the word worship. But I began to really look at it. I said, wait a minute. Sometimes we go at first glance, and maybe there's more to it than what we think. This is Mark 5. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. He'd never been there before. How did this person even know Jesus at all? So you don't have to know Jesus all the way to get in his presence. He just overheard somebody saying something positive, and he knew he had something going on with him. And so no matter what it took, he had to go and get to Jesus. No matter what was going on the inside of him, tearing him, he made his way to the one that had the power.
And that's what I always see when I read this verse. But when I actually read what he said, I had to reevaluate what I've been taught my whole life. What did he actually say when he came down and fell before him? Verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. I've always preached it and I've always heard. He came there and worshiped and danced and said, I'm getting my breakthrough. I'm getting my healing. I'm getting my miracle. I got this demon in my life, and now Jesus is in my life. And I've seen people shout and dance and run the aisles over this, and that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that he came there with a misunderstanding about what Jesus came to do. He came there hurting and broken and knowing how messed up he was and how naked he was and how vulnerable he was. And when he got to Jesus, he wasn't excited as we thought he was. He wasn't saying, Lord, I know you can deliver me. Lord, I know you can help me. I know you can fix me. We've assumed it because we've heard it so much. It was people who come to Jesus with the right thoughts and not understand what Jesus could do. But in this case, we find a man where people really are. They're coming to Jesus with wrong thoughts. In fact, a lot of people don't even come to church because of wrong thoughts. They think that when they get to church, that that's the place where they're going to be judged. They think when they get to church, that's the place where all the perfect people hang out, and they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And so I don't know if I can come and be where Jesus is, because when Jesus comes, he's not there to help me or heal me or deliver me. He's come to torment me. That's what the scripture says. What do I have to do with thee, Jesus? The Son of David, I know who you are, but then you know who I am, and you know how dirty I am, how sinful I am, how messed up mentally I am. Oh, God, don't torment me in this house. Have you ever invited somebody to the church and said, I can't go there, I'll get struck down with lightning? That's the same man. It's the same man. And we've all, one way or another, have related to this man. God, I messed up. God, my life is a mess. I might have money, but I might be empty. I might have family, but even then, sometimes they can't do everything for me. I have brokenness. I have addictions. I have sins. I have flaws. I adjure thee, God, don't torment me in this house. But Jesus is saying, that's why you think I'm here. That's why you think I showed up and crossed over and went through a storm. That's why you feel that way? Well, then that's why I'm here then. Because you have wrong thoughts about me. And I could have said they don't have the right thoughts about me. And so I'm not crossing over any sea. I'm not going through any storm. I'll leave them where they're at. But let me tell somebody, Jesus still showed up. Even though we have wrong thoughts about ourselves, Jesus is still there to ignore our wrong mentalities and our wrong thinkings. And said, I'm still going to do a work in you. Even though you might think I came with the wrong motives. Can I share with somebody? I don't know your background. I don't know what you're facing, but I will tell you this morning, Jesus has not come to torment you. Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come to give you hope. Jesus has come to change the chains that are on your life. Jesus loves you. Change your thinking. If God was here to only make things worse, then how did you even make it through 2020? I know so many have lost their mind through the pandemic, but yet you're still here. Yet I'm still here. Can I tell you, if God wanted to kill us, he would have kept Noah only by himself. But the mercy and grace says, I'm not come to torment you. I come to change you. I come to help you. I come to lift you. You've been broken and nobody can fix you. You've been torn and no one can make a way. But I showed up in the middle of a storm and I said, let's cross over. Somebody needs my help. Let's cross over. Someone needs deliverance. Let's cross over. Someone has wrong thoughts and we're going to fix them. We're going to fix some wrong thoughts. God hasn't brought you this far to condemn you. God brought you here to say, well, nobody else can. I can. Have you tried the drugs? Have you tried the alcohol? Have you tried the immoral lifestyle? Have you tried the money? And it changed you down. It kept you down. It caused you to fight. It caused you to wake up sick, not knowing what you even did the other night, with regret and pain and sorrow. And money didn't satisfy you because you never can have enough, because it's all relative. You always need more. But when Jesus said, I'm going to give you water, you'll never thirst again. And I know there's some witnesses in the house right now that can testify it's true. It's real. He's not come to torment you. He's come to make it better. He's come to give you life and it more abundantly. Jesus says, come out of them. The unclean spirit was speaking through the man, saying negative words and putting negative words in the atmosphere. And Jesus says, no, you got it all wrong. I'm going to speak. And I ask you to come out of the unclean. Praise God, the unspirit, the spirit that's unclean to come out of that man. Jesus understood that he had to reveal the thoughts that were not original with the man. Please hear me right now. After Jesus said, come out of the man, listen to what Jesus says. He says, what is your name? Because there's somebody speaking that's not actually you. I need somebody to hear what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying right now. I hope I'm not too deep. Jesus had to slow things down. And Jesus had to bring revelation. You see, the thing you've been speaking is not actually you. It's that unclean spirit in you. That worry, that fear and doubt, that's not you. And so Jesus had to stop everything and say, wait a minute, before you actually come out, because he commanded him. But notice that he was not delivered. The scripture said, come out of him. Nothing happened. What I think is, just like, oh, pause real quick. Let's truly identify what's really happening, because too many people think it's them speaking those words and that they're stuck in that place. Jesus says, no, it's not. There's something in you that needs to be revealed so I can speak to that thing, and you're going to realize that was never you in the first place. Some of you have been struggling with some stuff that you think it's you. And if it's you, how can you get out of it? And Jesus says, nuh-uh. Unclean spirit, I need you to identify yourself. There's some, now you better hear what I'm saying. Pastor Barlow, you already know, is not the one that thinks there's a devil under every tree. And I laugh at some of you that say the devil gave you a flat tire. If the devil could give you a flat tire, you would never have tires. Do you hear what I'm telling you? If the devil can be blamed for everything, you would not be here right now. The devil ain't that strong. The devil ain't that big. Sometimes there was a nail on the road that you ran over the nail, and the nail caused a puncture in your tire, and therefore your tire went flat.
Oh, that was some deep preaching right there. That was some revelational word right there.
And so Jesus had to make known what's really going on. And you know what many of you need to hear today? And I'm not preaching condemnation to you. I had to wake you up and tell you, you do need deliverance. It's not you. It's that unclean spirit that has attached itself to you that Jesus says, I'm going to reveal what it is, but I'm going to make it better, because you should not be stuck under that burden and that addiction in your life when I show up. So real quick, everyone close your eyes. I'm almost done. You got something that's unclean in you, and you think it's you. And you've been hurting and crying and frustrated because you feel like you can't break it. And Jesus shows up, and you think he's there to torment you. No, he's not. He's come to speak directly to the enemy in your life and tell you, this is the best day of your life, where I'm going to shake that thing. I'm going to loose that thing. I'm going to expose that thing. And I'm going to tell it to be gone by the authority that I have and the power of my name. I'm not your tormentor. I am your deliverer. So with all eyes closed right now, I want you to slip up your hands to him, because the Lord is leading me to just deal with this right now. You are not stuck. That spirit has attached itself to you, and that's why Jesus wants to free you from that lying, that stealing, that perversion, that immorality, that addiction. It's not you, it's an unclean spirit that has attached itself to you, and Jesus is not here to make you feel ashamed. Jesus is there to tell you, if you let me touch you, if you let me in, if you open your mouth and call on my name, I'm telling you, I'm not here to destroy you, I'm here to deliver you in this house. Jesus wanted that possessed man to see, you are not stuck. It's not you. It's not you that's been self-destructive. It's an unclean spirit. You've been trapped by vices. You've been trapped by things tormenting you. And I want to move in and make a difference in your life. That's for everybody in this house. And when I'm praying right now, somebody will grab a hold of it. Someone will know that Jesus is not there to torment you. Jesus is not there to condemn you or judge you. Jesus is there to help you know it's an unclean spirit in you, and he wants to make you free from that thing. And what I want you to do right now, if you can say anything, say the name of Jesus. Say, I need you, Lord. Lord, break the issues in my life. Destroy, oh God, these hurts and pains in my life, God. Help me to stop cutting myself. Help me, oh God, to stop crying every night. Help me to find joy unspeakable, full of glory. Help me to find freedom, Lord. Help me to be in my right mind, God. I'm tired of having this unclean spirit in control of me. That destroys everything. Come on, church. That's it. Pray. That's what we're doing. We're connecting right now. That's everybody. Everybody that has an unclean spirit, no matter how long you've been in church, there are things that are trying to tear you away from the love of God. I want to tell you, those are wrong thoughts. But Jesus is here to correct your thoughts. Jesus is here to help you this morning. Oh, that's it. We're crying to him. We're seeking after him. We're reaching out to him, and he's tugging at our hearts. He's tugging at our hearts to bring help. He wants to clothe you and put you in your right mind, because that's what happened. He was clothed because he was naked. He was vulnerable. Well, the Lord spoke to him and says, yes, you've been walking around in shame in your nakedness, but when you came to me and you were sensitive to my leading and my drawing, I came to accept you as normal, and I'm setting you free today. You are no longer in shame. You are no longer destitute, but you are loved. 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 Jesus is coming in, do his work, clothing you right now. He want to restore you right now. And the last thing he said, he clothed him and he sat in his right mind. You can keep it right there, Rodney. It's fine. Keep it right there. Sitting denotes calmness. Sitting denotes security. Sitting denotes I am comfortable in the place I'm in right now. Before, he was roaming around the tombs and the mountains. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he was able to sit calmly. Rest calmly. Some of you have been stirred up with all the things going on in your life. But before the service is over, he's going to clothe you. And then you're going to be able to spiritually sit. A calmness, a security, a comfort is going to come over you because Jesus has touched you. And Jesus is telling you, I am not your enemy or your tormentor. I am your deliverer. Verse 19. He wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus says, no. Go home. Go to your friends. Tell them. Tell them what God has done for you. Tell them how he didn't have to torment you to make things right. Tell them how he had compassion on you. This service, it's been a service for someone to be touched by the love of God, that you will be compelled to go home and tell somebody, look, I have hope. I have peace. One more time, lift your hands in this house. It's an act of surrender. And as your hands are lifted, I want you to say, Jesus, do your work in me. Help me understand that you love me. You're not here to harm me, to condemn me, or to torment me. You come to free me, to clothe me, to put me in my right mind, right thinking. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. So wash me, cleanse me, set me free, put me on the right path. From here on out, I'm dedicating myself to you to grow, to engage, and to become spiritually mature, a righteous son or daughter of God. In the name of Jesus. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. That's it. Clap your hands. I say it's the beginning. It's the beginning. Come on, clap your hands and say it's the beginning. Great things are about to happen. I'm being made new. And Jesus is going to continue a work in my life. As I'm closing the service, I know I'm doing it differently, because I believe that we're trying to get more mature in the Word of God. As God has spoken to us, and as people would believe in Jesus, he said, follow me. In other words, it wasn't just a one-time decision, a one-time service, one-time experience, and then you leave. He wants you to commit to following him. We have discipleship structure in this church. This Tuesday is our last prayer teaching. And then on March 16th, we're going to begin our new classes for our new people. And we're going to break down the word of God to you. Starting March 16th, we'll provide dinner. It starts at 6 o'clock. And to introduce that, all of you have never been to our house. The next Sunday, we want you to come over. And we're going to share you our heart for you, our love for you, our vision for this church. But then we want to then put you in the process to that. This, what you feel now, is not a one-time thing. But you say, I'm ready to grow. And we'll teach you the word. We'll teach you the plan of salvation. We'll teach you basics of the Bible. And we'll continue to help you grow. And as we grow, our community grows. And our world becomes a better place. How many believe that? I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. But if this morning you just say, I just feel the tug of God so strong. And I know I have just repented of my sins. And I open my heart up to him. Then we would fail you if we not give you an opportunity to say the waters are ready and you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You say, what does that even mean? The Bible tells us that you must be born of the water and the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God. And when you're baptized, it is a spiritual act that takes place where you are being buried with him as Christ was buried. And when you come up, the Bible tells us that all of our sins are washed away. Because spiritually, it's just water. But spiritually, his blood that he shed on Calvary comes over you. And all, every sin that you committed, every act of wrong you've done, the Bible says that he forgets them and he washes them all away. And I believe that's the most wonderful experience you can have, is have all your sins washed away. And you become a new creature. And the Bible then teaches he'll fill you with his spirit. It's not scary. It's not scary. It's a gift that God wants to give to you. It's his spirit that comes and lives on the inside of you. And as evidence you have his spirit in you, you will speak in another language that God gives you the utterance to do so. And so if you want to be baptized just more here this morning, or you just want to know more about it, then we want to take time, praise God, after service, we'll wait right here with you, and we'll answer any questions you have. But we want to just thank everyone for being here in the service this morning. We pray you would take this word and take what you failed and say, I'm going to come back and get more of it. I'm going to join in with everything I have. And I'm going to be a part of what God has for me in this season. God bless you. You are dismissed in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Greet somebody you don't know. And hopefully we'll see you next week. Service and for breaking bread at our home.